This is the BBC Home Service and British Forces Broadcasting Service. Saturday Night Theatre, Dead Man's Bay, a play for radio by P.M. Hubbard.
Dear, you ought to be in by now. Peter, is that you?
No, Lizzie, it's us. May we come in?
Oh, hello, Janet. Hello, James.
Hello, Lizzie.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was Peter.
Oh, my dear, isn't he back yet?
No, but I expect him any moment. Come in, have a drink. James, you know where everything is, don't
you? Oh, yes, of course.
Oh, it's worrying for you, darling. It's playing quite hard outside. James was saying...
Nonsense, Janet. Let us live long enough in the island to know bad weather when she sees it. And I may be a chair-born sailor now, but I have been to sea, and with Peter. What are you having, Mary?
Oh, sherry, I think, please, James.
Sherry, right. And the usual for you, Janet?
Yes, please.
Peter handles small craft as well as anyone I've ever seen. He always did, even at school. I always think if they hadn't tried to put him in something bigger, he might have stayed on in the service. But I don't think he'd ever have made a peacetime sailor. Ricky's a different kettle of fish.
But Ricky's a marvel, Jim, you're always saying.
As an administrator, yes. I don't know what I'd do without him. I've never been at sea with him, but he's got a first-class record, or he wouldn't be where he is.
No, indeed.
As yours, Letty.
Oh, thank you, James.
Janet.
Thanks, sir.
But if I had to get caught in a blow somewhere between here and Alderney, and something of sea mew size... I'd rather have Peter in command than Ricky. Well, God bless us.
Cheers.
He's made a wonderful job of seeing you know.
I haven't been out in her very much, to tell you the truth.
He'll be laying her up for the winter soon, won't he?
Well, it depends to some extent on the weather, but he generally gets her in about now, yes.
Oh, there can't be much more in for two, surely. I mean, most of the visitors have gone, haven't they?
Well, it's not only the money, you know, Janet. Peter runs Seamew because the sea means everything to him. He'd run her at a dead loss if he had to. As it is, he's not doing at all badly with her.
Oh, I know what it is, coming a bad second to the sea. I've been a sailor's wife longer than you have, darling. Not that one minds being home comforts when they do come home. Oh, I can't really compete.
No, I know.
Of course, I've been lucky these last 2 years with Jim at the establishment, however much he growls about it. But I'm glad Peter's doing well with his boat, and I'm sure the extra money's well.
Oh, it certainly is.
It is still doing trips to the Dorset Arms, people. What's the name of that little man who runs it? Benton?
Benton, yes. Ah. He gives Peter a lot of business, fishing trips and short cruises, that sort of thing. They pay very well.
I don't care much for that man Benton, I must say.
Well, I wouldn't make a bosom friend of him either. I don't think Peter would, but he's a useful connection if you want to run a charter business. His visitors have the money to spend, and Peter charges them pretty steep rates for what they get.
Ooh, it's blowing up a bit. You know, I think you're marvellous, Letty, darling. I'd be having litters of kittens myself.
Peter's probably been on his moorings and tidying up this last half hour, so I don't think there's any call for one kitten, let alone a litter. Now, come on, Janet. Sorry we miss Peter, but he's always a difficult man to catch.
Yes.
Let us know when he's packed up for the season, and we'll invite ourselves in for a meal.
Yes, no, you come to us, Letty. Just you and Peter. And then you and I can have a proper natter while they talk about the good old days before they marry.
Janet.
Oh, what?
Come on. Oh,
well, you know what I mean, darling. All right, Jim, I'm coming.
Well, thanks for the drink, Letty.
All right.
Give my salams to Peter.
Yes, I will.
Cool.
Goodbye.
Come on, dear. Wait for the night. Have they gone?
Oh. Peter, did you have to come in through the kitchen? Didn't you want to see them?
Not particularly. Oh, I'm fond of old James, but Janet slumming is more than I can bear.
Oh, she wasn't slumming. She was being sympathetic as one sailor's wife to another. Of course, she overdid it a bit. But James shut her up, and I was sweetly reasonable.
Well, I don't like you having to be sweetly reasonable to your friends. Not about me, I mean.
What do you expect me to do, then? Burst into tears and say I'm worried stiff? Janet would love that, if that's what you want.
What do you have to be worried about? You talk too much, Janet and James. Or has little brother Ricky been having a go, too?
No, of course he hasn't. In any case, you know my views on Ricky. Nor has James. You ought to know him better than that.
Yes, well, I didn't imagine James would, but Janet's different.
What's the matter with you, Peter? It's not like you to be so touchy. Well, if you want to know, yes, I am worried about you. About us, if you like. I don't like the way things are going with you.
I see. And what way do you think things are going with me?
I don't like all this business with Joe Benton.
What do you mean by all this business?
Well, I don't mean the legitimate business, the fishing trips and so on. But that's not the whole story, is it? You're running stuff in for him, aren't you? And you've been doing it for some time now on quite a scale. That's what he really pays you for.
Well, good God, we can use the money, can't we?
Oh, we use it all right when it's there, but systematic smuggling can be quite a serious business if you're caught. It's not like the odd bottle of brandy in your briefcase after a holiday in France. It's making a business of it they object to. Not even that, Peter, not really. Benton, I don't like him, and I don't like your getting involved with him like this. I feel it's... Well, it's all a bit degrading. Well, I'm sorry, but that's how I feel.
Now, look. You say bringing in the odd bottle's all right. Well, good God, we've both done it at times.
Yes, I know that.
What's the difference if I bring in the odd cask or the odd case? Who am I doing down? Her Majesty's Customs and Excise. If you've got a conscience about doing down the Exchequer, I can't honestly say I have, not considering the pension they pay us. Nor, if I may say so, has that highly respectable and splendidly prosperous father of yours.
Oh, here we go.
He may disapprove of his shiftless son-in-law, but... Who pays that large car he rolls down here in? Ultimately, unless I'm very much mistaken, the Inland Revenue. And God knows he could afford to run it himself.
Oh, for the Lord's sake, lay off poor Daddy. He doesn't disapprove of you, but you do rather come the Navy with him at times, don't you? Anyhow, I can't say I've got much of a conscience about beating the customs either. I just don't like your doing Joe Benton's dirty work for him. I feel you're selling yourself somehow.
I'll tell you what I'm selling, Letts. My one commercial asset, my professional skill, my seamanship. It does happen to be about the only thing the Royal Navy left me to sell. I can't be too choosy about who I sell it to. Now, if Seamew and I are good enough to beat the customs between us, well, we ought to be able to capitalize on it somehow. It's quite a game, you know.
Yes, and you enjoy it. You enjoy every minute of it. As I said to dear Janet just now, you'd still run Seamew if you didn't make a penny out of her.
Oh, perhaps I would.
Well, I don't think I'd mind the Robin Hood act if you weren't making money for Joe Benton. And the fact is, of course, that it's not a game. It may be to you, but it's not to the authorities. Well, I'm terrified that one of these days you're going to get caught.
Look, Letts, to be honest, I don't care for Joe Benton myself. Well, of course he's on the make, but well, I know what I'm doing. I think I can handle it and him. If things look like getting out of hand, I can always pull out pretty quick.
You sure? That's what I'm afraid of.
Anyway, the season's pretty well over. We can take another look at it, if you like, next spring. In the meantime, for heaven's sake, stop worrying about it. It isn't worth it.
Oh, very well. I hope you're right. Anyways, you say the season's over. Well, I must get some supper. Oh, Mr. Benton, good evening.
Good evening, Mrs. Robertson.
Do you want... Oh, here's Peter now.
Hello there, Peter.
Hello, Joe.
Well, if I might come in for a quick word, that is, if I shan't be disturbing you, Mrs. Robertson. Shan't be long, I promise you, but if it's inconvenient...
Come in, Joe. Lady's just getting supper, but if you won't be long...
Well, 10 minutes, if that's all right for you, Mr. Benton.
Ample.
Well, what's on your mind, Joe?
Well, it's just this. I want you to manage a Guernsey run for me.
Guernsey?
Just St. Peter Port and back. It'll have to be within the next day or two. I wouldn't ask it as late in the season as this, but it is a bit urgent.
It is a bit late in the year for a run like that, you know. I was thinking of laying her up, as a matter of fact. Is it really all that urgent?
It's necessary, Peter. You'll have to take my word for that.
I see. Well, so far as I'm concerned, it's pretty necessary to keep myself alive. It wouldn't help you much if... Seamew went down with all hands, not to speak of any cargo she may be carrying. Given the reasonable weather report, I'll consider it, Joe, but not without.
I can make it worth your while, Peter.
Now, look,
it's been a good season, and I don't mind going a bit over the usual odds for a last trip.
Meaning what?
Well, say, a couple of hundred.
A couple of hundred?
It's worth that to me.
You're getting to be quite a big businessman, aren't you?
I said it was necessary to me. But I want to make it worth your while.
Well, nothing's worth drowning for, Joe. All right. I'll do it.
Good. I felt sure you would.
When do you want me to go?
Within the next 48 hours, I think. I'll let you know.
All right. I'll be in touch with you tomorrow. When we know a bit more about conditions. That suit you?
All right. But I'm counting on you, Peter. Well, now I'll take myself off before your loving wife actually throws me out. Why does she dislike me so much, do you suppose?
I think it's just an instinct she has.
I see. Well, I never was one to cause trouble in the home. Till tomorrow, then. Don't worry, I'll let myself out. Night, Peter.
Good night.
Well, what does he want this time?
Oh, he wants me to do another run before I lay her up.
What?
I said I'd think about it.
Oh, well, I suppose if it's only a coastal run, but it can blow up at this time of the year.
Well, I haven't committed myself. I'll see what the weather's up to and then decide.
Where does he want you to go?
He talked of a Channel Island trip.
He wants you to do the Channel Islands run now?
I said I'd think about it.
Well, why didn't you just tell him to go to hell? Or can't you do that?
Oh, for God's sake, leave this for me to settle. I'll deal with Joe Benton my own way, but you must leave it to me.
I know how you deal with Mr. Benton, Peter. It's not your way at all, it's his. That's what worries me about the whole business.
Look, lay off, will you?
But, Peter, listen
to me. I can't tell what you think. Just lay off, please, and let me settle it.
Very well. Supper's ready, if you want it.
All right, all right. Oh, to hell with everything.
Hello?
Mrs. Robertson?
Yes?
I wonder if I might have a word with Peter.
No, I'm afraid you can't. He's not in. He went out after breakfast. That is Mr. Benton, isn't it?
Yes. I wonder if... I wanted to see Peter rather urgently, as a matter of fact.
Yes, well, he did say something about getting in touch with you. I thought perhaps he'd gone out to see you. Well, if he hasn't, I'm afraid I can't say where he is.
He hasn't, no. Do you know when he's likely to be in?
Lunchtime, I expect.
I see. I wonder, could you ask him to ring me as soon as he gets in?
Yes, very well, I'll tell him.
It really is urgent, Mrs. Robertson.
Yes, all right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
And to hell with you, Mr. Benton, so far as I'm concerned. Wind dropping all the time and clear weather coming up from the west. Oh, that means he'll go. Can't trust it, not this time of the year. Oh, well, if wishing for a gale gets me a force 3 breeze, I'd better not start wishing for a calm.
That's no way to behave at this time of morning.
Oh, Ricky! Oh, I didn't hear you come in.
Staring out over Dead Man's Bay and talking to yourself in a doom-laden voice.
I must say that you look very nice doing it. Anyone your shape should be encouraged to lean out of windows.
I wouldn't expect you to call it Dead Man's Bay. It's all West Bay to the Channel Pilot.
Dead Man's Bay has worked for its name.
How do you mean?
Well, you've seen St. Mary's Churchyard. Must have been murder under sail, with a southwesterly blowing into the race. There was an old troop convoy once. They counted 230 bodies on the beach.
Oh.
They put 17 officers in one grave in the churchyard and the other ranks where they could dig them in. And they always come ashore in Dead Man's Bay. What's upset you, Letts? Brother Peter been hitting the bottle again?
Nothing's upset me. And I wish you wouldn't talk about Peter as if he was a chronic alcoholic.
I don't want to talk about Peter at all. Come sit down. Not much of a life for you, this, is it?
It's my life. I chose it, and I can handle it.
You chose Peter. But we said we wouldn't talk about Peter. You didn't choose this damned island, not with winter coming on and nothing but the gulls for company.
Oh, nonsense. It isn't St. Helena. There's an A road into England, and one doesn't even have to pad it along the top of the bank as one used to do.
And you're younger than I am, damn it. And still as lovely as they come.
Oh, lay off, Ricky. You're an unprincipled little bastard, aren't you? I sometimes wonder if Peter knows just how unprincipled you are.
And what good have Peter's principles ever done him? Or you, for that matter. Damn all what I can see. And even old Peter's not above keeping pretty queer company at times.
Well, I suppose you mean Joe Benton.
I do.
What makes you describe him as pretty queer company? Do you know anything about him that I don't?
Oh, I don't expect so. One hears things, but it's all a bit vague. I've hardly met him myself. I can't afford to patronize the Dorset Arms much. Only he's not liked much, I'd say, locally.
Well, we none of us like him, but he puts business in Peter's way.
All right, I know. Peter's old enough to know what he's doing. In that sort of way, I suppose he is. In other ways...
Peter's got more value in his little finger than you have in the whole of your elegant body and swollen head.
Thank you.
Oh, I know you've got a degree, your little medical efficiency, but I don't trust you a yard.
Thank you again.
I suppose somebody must, or you wouldn't be in the job you are. Hope to heaven they know what they're doing. Oh, now, let me get on with my chores. You can stay if you want, only don't bother me. Peter won't be home till lunchtime anyway.
But what have I done to deserve this?
All right, Ricky, I apologize. I'm feeling a bit low, and you're Well, your line of approach was unfortunate. All the same, I think you'd better go.
All right, I'm going. But sometime when you're feeling less doom-laden.
Can you tell me where Mr. Benton is?
He was on the phone a moment ago, sir. I'll see if I can find him for you.
Thank you. He is expecting me.
Oh, I think perhaps... Oh, yes, there's Mr. Benton now.
Hmm? Oh, yes. Joe, good morning.
Ah, there you are.
Sorry I couldn't make it sooner.
I've been trying to get hold of you, but your wife wasn't very forthcoming. come into my office a moment, will you?
Yeah. Oh, I looked in to say, I'm afraid it's no go. Mm. It's really too late in the year to make this particular passage. Well, it was a good offer, Joe, but, well, I simply can't undertake it.
I see. Look, Peter, I don't think we can discuss this here.
Well, I think there's much to discuss, is there? I've told you.
I think there is.
Look, Joe, I've thought this thing over, and I really have made up my mind.
No one else made it up for you.
What do you mean?
Isn't it a demonstration of independence just to show your wife?
No. Of course not.
Well, whatever it is, you'll have to think again, Peter. I need that run made, and I need you to do it for me.
Look, Joe, I'm sorry to disoblige. We've had an interesting partnership, and I've enjoyed it tremendously, but I just don't think this is a feasible proposition. You'll have to accept my decision.
And I can't persuade you in any way.
I'm afraid not, no.
If it's a matter of money...
No, the money's fair enough. I just don't want to make this run now. I regard it as an unreasonable risk.
I see. I'm afraid, Peter, you're not in a position to say no.
Hmm? It's for me to decide what I'm to do with my own boat.
Oh, certainly. Only you can decide. But I don't think you realize what your position is. It's a fairly tricky one.
All right, I suppose it may be, but well, that applies to all of us, doesn't it?
Oh, certainly, but it applies to you as much as to any of us. Perhaps more.
What do you mean?
What sort of goods do you think you've been handling this past year or two?
Dutiable stuff, obviously.
You think you've just been running liquor and tobacco and so on?
So I assume.
It never occurred to you it might be something a bit more valuable.
Well, watches, perhaps. It wasn't my business to ask, and I haven't.
And your conscience is reasonably clear, is that it?
Not overburdened, I admit.
Oh, for heaven's sake, be your age, man.
What do you mean?
Think what it's entailed. All this organization, the contacts, the passwords, the offshore dumping and collecting, the money you've been getting. Damn it, you think all this has been paid for out of a matter of dodge duties? You can't be so much of a fool as all that. Or if you are, no one's going to believe you are. It's not much good acting the honest, simple sailor when you're up for dope smuggling.
What?
Yes, even your best friends won't like it much, and the jury won't wear it at all. No, this is serious, Peter. Now, look, it won't go on much longer because this particular line has just about outlived its usefulness and will have to be packed in anyway. But for the moment, you've got to do what I say.
Dope. You bastard.
Now, listen, Peter. If you will make this run within the next 24 hours, tomorrow night probably, that will be the end of it. In that case, there will be nothing for you to worry about. If you don't, you will pay the full penalty for what, in your innocence or your folly or whatever you like to call it, you've been doing this last year.
You absolute bastard.
Well, are you going to make this run, or aren't you? Well, Peter?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'll go, all right.
Ah, that's better. Now, I'll be in touch with you again very shortly. In the meantime, there should be no need for me to repeat what I've said about your position. There's nothing you can do, and I think the more you consider the matter, the more clearly you'll see that.
Oh, Peter? Your friend Benton was on the phone. He requires your presence. Peter, are you all right?
Hmm? Yes, I'm all right.
Well, what about Benton? Did you see him?
Yes, I saw him. I told him I would, and I did. There was no need for him to telephone.
Oh, well, that's all right then. I wish... Oh, well. You are doing this Channel Island run, are you?
Yes. Tomorrow, probably.
I see.
Well, what about lunch?
Oh, yes, it's all ready. I'll get it. Get yourself a drink while you're waiting. You look as if you needed one.
I'm all right, I tell you. Still, get myself a whiskey.
You know,
know what it is, Letty, darling. Having a husband in a hush-hush job of this sort, one has to be madly discreet.
Yes, of course, Janet, but I can't see Jim discussing his work with anyone outside at all. Not even you, although, of course, he knows you wouldn't say anything.
Well, of course he does, darling. But I'm bound to gather a bit of what's going on. I mean, from odd things he says. And I can't help being worried. And I thought, I mean, I know you wouldn't breathe a word.
No, of course
but
not.
But poor Jim has been worried nearly out of his mind. And I felt if I could only talk to someone about it, you know what it is? Mm. Because I can't talk to anyone, so I thought I'd talk to you about it, darling. You don't mind, do you?
No, of course not. Is something new, is it?
Oh, yes, quite new.
I mean, it's not just routine worry, someone being difficult or something like
that.
Oh,
no, no, no.
Because in any job of that sort, well, there must be snags that probably drive him half around the bend at the time, but aren't really serious.
Oh, no, no, darling. It's only, well, only since yesterday, really.
Only since yesterday?
Yes, he came home very late looking like death. And, of course, I asked him what was wrong. Well, I mean, one does.
Yes, one does. They never say, but one always asks.
Well, he shut up like a clam and said there was nothing wrong and what made me think there was. And I said, well, I thought you were worried, darling. He said, no, of course he wasn't worried, and went on looking as if he'd seen a couple of ghosts.
Oh, poor Janet, I do know. I've had some of it, you know. And not very long ago, either.
Really?
Anyway, what happened then?
Well, then he went out again almost at once, and heaven only knows what time he got back. I was asleep, and then he went off early this morning, still looking like death.
Oh, dear, I am sorry.
I couldn't bear it to be anything seriously wrong at the establishment. It would break his heart, and then 10 to 1 he'd be given a ship or posted overseas or something. And of course, it has been nice these last 2 years having him settled ashore, although I know he gets restless at times.
Well, I'm sure it's not anything like that. Of course, it is worrying for you. He's not being able to talk about it. It makes it worse.
Yes.
Does he... I mean, well, has this sort of thing ever happened before?
Never. Of course, he's cursed the people of the establishment. Well, you know what these boffins are.
Mm.
And then there's a technical hold-up. He's got to get things straightened out and keep the program on course. But he's not going to feel himself involved like this. This is something which is right under his skin. That's what worries me.
Oh, I know, Janet. You're thinking of security, and that's bound to be worrying.
It is. Security is Jim's responsibility all along the line. And, of course, if it is security, it's the last thing he can talk about. And all I can do is to make him eat when he does come home and ask no more silly questions. Mm. But I felt I'd burst if I didn't talk to somebody. I hope you don't mind.
No, of course not. But you're quite right. There's nothing one can do.
No.
Oh, you haven't seen Ricky, have you?
No, and in any case, he's not the sort of person one can talk to. And if it's something to do with security, he'd be right up to his neck in it, too. And he couldn't say anything any more than Jim could.
No, I suppose not. I was only wondering... Oh, well, anyway, do try not to worry, Janet. I'm sure whatever it is, James is more than capable of riding it out.
Oh, I do hope
so. And you're not going to stop him worrying. It's what he's paid for, after all. But it won't help him if he sees he's got you worried, too. Especially when there's nothing he can do to help you.
Oh, I know. You're quite right, darling. I'm sorry I burdened you with it. I must fly. I suppose there's a chance Jim may be back. More coffee, Jim?
No, thank you, my dear. I must be getting back, I'm afraid.
Melbourne.
Yes?
Oh, of course, if you must, but couldn't you manage just to sit for another 10 minutes?
Well, all right. 10 minutes, if it'll be of any comfort to you.
It's not me, Jim. It's you. You look tired, you know. I mean, you know I never interfere, but it's no good cracking yourself out.
I won't do that. It's just that we're a bit occupied with something at the moment. But I don't want you worrying like this. It doesn't do any good, you know.
I know. I'm sorry. Letty, you say...
Oh, when did you see Letty?
Oh, today, as a matter of fact. I was up that way and dropped in for a natter. You know me.
Peter there?
No, only Letty.
And what was she saying?
Oh, only that wives were too apt to worry over their husbands and husbands didn't like it.
Letty been worrying herself?
Well, yes, I think she always does a bit, don't you?
About Peter?
I suppose so, yes. Nothing she said, only what I gathered. I'm sure she needn't. Peter's the rock of ages, underneath, I mean.
You think that, do you?
Oh, Jim, of course. Ask any woman.
I'm not asking any woman. I'm asking you.
But why ask me? You've known Peter longer than I have.
I know I have. But when it comes to a man's being the rock of ages or not, I think a woman's judgment is always of interest.
What, woman's intuition? I didn't expect to find you buying that one, Jim.
Well, let's put a straight case. Letty could have had Ricky, couldn't she, if she'd wanted him? She's nearer his age. He's a clever chap, sure to be successful when he puts his mind to a thing. And attractive to women, surely.
Yes.
But not Peter. Peter's no beauty. Look, here are two brothers. To a girl of Letty's age, as she was then, I mean, One seems to have everything. But does she go for that one? Oh, not she. She goes for Peter, who hasn't even a career. Oh, well, he had then, I suppose, but... Anyway, why?
Why what, Jim? I'm sorry, I'm a bit behind.
Why did Letty marry Peter and not Ricky?
But I've told you Peter's the rock of ages, like you, Jim, don't you see?
It doesn't sound very exciting.
All right, not very exciting, perhaps, but solid, don't you see? Dear, that doesn't sound very complimentary either. Safe, sound, predictable.
You think Peter's safe, sound, and predictable?
Of course he is, underneath, I mean. I know what you're thinking. I've seen you looking at him when he's bored and fed up and lifting his elbow a bit. But you said yourself you'd rather have him in command than anyone else if you got caught in a blow. It's the same thing, isn't it?
I wasn't thinking of seamanship. Or was I? Perhaps it is the same thing. To some extent, anyhow. What about Ricky, then?
I don't know, Jim. I really can't put my finger on it.
Not solid.
No, not solid at all. No, no, no. I mean, I've got nothing against Ricky, you know that. But you asked why Peter and not Ricky, and that's it. I mean, if I'd been Letty, I'd have done the same.
Only now she's worrying about him.
Yes. But I think for him, more than about him. Anyway, I said you needn't.
Then why is she, do you think?
I don't know, I tell you. I think in her place I'd be worrying that he was worrying about himself.
And why should he worry about himself?
Mostly because she's worrying about him, I expect.
Oh, dear. Let me see if I can work that one out.
Hello, Letty.
Oh, Ricky. I was just going out. What are you doing here this time of the afternoon?
Must you go out, or can I come in for a while?
What, now?
Yes.
Oh, well, yes, all right. I must go out sometime. There's no immediate hurry. Come in for a bit, anyway.
Thanks.
Well, I didn't expect to see you, of all people. Oughtn't you to be holding the fort up at the establishment, now of all times?
Why, now of all times?
Well, I gathered there was a crisis of some sort brewing. But perhaps they haven't told you, Ricky. I expect James is managing it on his own.
Where did you get this from? Janet, I suppose. I shouldn't take Janet too seriously if I were you, not on the establishment's affairs. She knows nothing and would say anything. All the same, she ought to learn to keep her silly mouth shut. What has she been saying, in fact?
If Janet has been indiscreet, I am not going to double her indiscretion by repeating it.
Damn it, Letts, this is serious. I'm responsible for security under James Hardwick, and I have a right to know.
Then I suggest you report to Captain Hardwick that you have reason to believe his wife has been guilty of a breach of security. That's if you have reason to believe it. Well, you mustn't rest it on anything I've told you.
I wish I knew how seriously to take you, Letty.
Do you? Well, that's something we have in common, at least. I wish I knew how seriously I ought to take you.
I wish you would manage to take me a bit more seriously than you do.
Poor Ricky. All those looks and all that ability. And yet somehow no one ever takes him quite as seriously as he takes himself. Is that it?
Look, Letts. Do you know what it is we do at the establishment?
No, I haven't the faintest idea. For all I know, you may be doing confidential welfare work for the illegitimate offspring of admirals of the fleet.
Oh, for heaven's sake. I tell you, this is serious.
Well, how should I know how serious it is? James Hardwick isn't a man to throw his weight about. And you're so self-important that one's always apt to discount whatever it is you're supposed to be doing.
My God, it is serious, all right. If you only knew what it is they're working on now. A bunch of little boffins who aren't interested in anything but the technicalities. And Captain James Hardwick, that very gallant and loyal officer who hasn't a thought beyond the Queen's regulations and the destruction of the Queen's enemies. So long as we're sure who they are before we start firing the thing off.
Well, you're not sure yourself? You wouldn't, for example, leave it to Her Majesty's government to decide who you're going to be at war with?
I wouldn't trust Her Majesty's government with an old folks out.
Oh, really?
Have you ever met any politicians or senior civil servants? The country's run by the old and the idle and the second-rate.
And what are the young and energetic and first-rate, which I imagine means you, supposed to do about it? It hasn't occurred to you, I suppose, that you're in the wrong job.
Of course I'm in the wrong job. Do you think I wanted to go into the Navy, especially after I'd got my degree? There's not even a decent living in it. But all the Robertsons go into the Navy. Although I notice my respectable big brother got out as soon as he decently could.
Then why in heaven's name don't you get out if you feel like this? Or is is something new. I've never heard you blow your top like this before. Am I supposed to feel honored by your confidence? Well, I can't honestly pretend I am, but I think your confidence should be shared with a few people, Ricky. James Hardwick, for one, and even Peter, perhaps. I told you yesterday I didn't think Peter knew enough of what goes on in that busy little mind of yours.
What you actually said was that you wondered if Peter knew what an unprincipled bastard I was. Not quite the same thing, surely.
Well, I don't know. I hope not. But I tell you this, Ricky. I think you should consider a change of job, and I'll give you time to consider it. But if you don't make up your mind to it pretty soon, I may start doing a little talking out of turn on my own account.
You're quite a girl, aren't you, Letts? You said Peter's worth 10 of me, but by God, you're worth 10 of Peter. You've got brains as well as looks. And you're tough. I hadn't begun to realize how tough you were. You and I could get somewhere between us, don't you think? Or don't you?
Oh, Ricky, it's too late for you to take that line. Much too late now, especially. If I went anywhere with you, I've got a pretty clear idea where it would be.
No,
Ricky. We've both said enough, more than enough. Well, I'm going out now. You can stay or not, as you like. But think over what I said just now, will you? Because I'm going to do quite a bit of thinking about what you said. Goodbye, Ricky.
Goodbye. Flat calm. And fog coming up, or I'm a Dutchman. Fog. Oh, well.
Peter?
Yes. Make her fast and come aboard. No one's going to see anything much tonight. Have any trouble finding me?
No. I know where to look for you by this time.
Yes. Well, you better come below.
It's pretty thick outside. If this goes on, you'll have a game finding your way out tomorrow. You always said you could do it by ear if you had to. Now it looks as if you're going to have to.
I don't suppose it'd be any good my saying I can't.
None, I'm afraid.
In fact, it shouldn't be too difficult. There's no sea running at all. Some of the biggest tides of the year tonight and tomorrow, but that can't hurt us, so long as we keep clear of the race. If it's St. Peter Port I'm heading for, I'll be steering pretty well due south. Now, what are your sailing orders?
Be on board here and ready to sail at dusk tomorrow. I'll come as soon as it's dark and give you a packet. Only papers. You can sail as soon as it suits you, once you have them on board. Make St. Peter Port as soon as you reasonably can, but in any case, by daylight. All right?
Depends on how long this fog lasts. I don't mind feeling my way out of here, but I'm damned if I'm going to feel my way into St. Peter Port. The approaches are far too tricky, but given reasonable conditions, yes, all right. What do I do then? Who's my contact at that end?
A man called the Hurel. He'll find you and identify himself in the usual way.
The Hurel? He's new, isn't he?
You've never met him, but that shouldn't worry you. You'll know who he is. Hand over the packet to him. That's all.
What? Nothing to bring back?
Well, that's up to him. If he asks you to bring anything, bring it and hold it for my orders. But I don't think he will. If he doesn't, you're your own master once he's got the papers. And I mean that. I shan't be calling on you again. Money as usual. I've got 100 in fives here. You can collect the other 100 any time after you're back. All right?
I expect you'll think it's a pretty useless gesture, but I'm not taking any money from you on this trip.
No?
No.
Anyway, please yourself. It seems to me foolish and, as you say, useless, but not out of character, perhaps.
Nice turn of phrase, haven't you? I suppose if I was simply to hit you...
Now, look here, Peter. I mean what I say about this being the end of our doing business together, but do please understand that any move at all on your part to lay information anywhere will be the end of you. It wouldn't do any good anyway. The whole line's being dismantled. There'll be nothing left to go on, and no one left who knows anything. So far as you're concerned, the whole thing will be as if it had never happened. If you take my advice, you'll persuade yourself that it never did. Well?
No comment. Or none that I'd trust myself to make. I'll be aboard here, ready to sail, at dusk tomorrow. Now, if you've nothing more to say, I suggest you put yourself ashore. I'll shut down here and do the same. What the hell? Looks like the road's up. No, it's the police. What's the trouble, officer?
No trouble, sir. Just a routine check. Now, do you mind giving me your name and address, sir?
Not at all. Peter Robertson. I live on the island, 9 Upper Mount Road. I'm on my way home now.
Robertson. 9 Upper Mount Road. This is your car, sir?
Yes, it is.
If I might see your driving license and insurance certificate, sir?
Yes. Well, here they are. License and insurance. They're both in order, I think. I suppose it's no good my asking what all this is about.
Just a routine check, sir.
Yes, I know it's that, but could you bear to tell me what set this particular routine in motion?
Just looking into the movements of vehicles, sir. There's been information received about some stolen property. And we are under orders from the Chief Constable to check traffic movements in and out the island.
Well, it's easier than most cordon jobs anyway. Just the one road, and you've got that sealed off as if the gas mains were on fire.
Ah, that's so, sir. Right, sir. Here's your documents, if you'd like to proceed now.
Thank you. Good night, officer.
Good night, sir. And thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, there you are. I was wondering what had happened to you.
Oh, sorry I'm a bit late. I got held up in town. On top of that, I was stopped by the police as I came in.
The police?
No cause for alarm. They didn't find a case of contraband scotch in the boot. Nor, in fact, did they look for it. They were stopping everyone, but they wouldn't say what they were after. Well, they wouldn't, of course. Sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's all right. In fact, I could do with another 5 minutes. Give yourself a drink while you're waiting.
All right.
Oh, by the way, Janet was in today with dark hints of crisis at the establishment.
I should imagine Janet knows as much about what goes on at the establishment as the office cat. Now, if I were James, I'd not only tell Janet nothing, I'd go out of my way to feed her harmless fictions so she could have something to retail without accidentally impinging on the truth. Yes, I expect he does too. Oh, what a woman.
Oh, there's no real harm in her, Peter. At least she is really fond of her James.
Well, I suppose there's some virtue in that, but I can't help thinking her affection is disastrous in some of its manifestations.
What about Benton?
What about him?
Well, I imagined you'd seen him.
So I did.
What about this trip, then? Is it on?
Yes, but if it's any comfort to you, I think the sands are running out on my beautiful friendship with Joe Benton. Meanwhile, I'm booked for one more run, leaving tomorrow evening. Now, you can see for yourself there's no worry about weather conditions, oh, apart from this fog, which I don't think should bother me much.
All right, it's up to you. You know my feelings about Mr. Benton. I don't care if you never set eyes on him again, even if we do have to live on sausages and baked beans for the rest of our lives. Now, give me 5 minutes. We're not eating baked beans tonight anyway.
Well, thank heavens for that. Hello?
Peter, there's been a change of plans. It's got to be tonight.
But
now, look, there isn't time to argue. You must get down to the harbour and be ready to sail within the hour.
I don't know if you're interested, but I shall have to negotiate a police roadblock. Pass through it on my way up.
Where was this, Peter?
On the road in, about 100 yards from the mainland end. There's a double barrier and they're checking all traffic in and out.
Tell me exactly what happened, will you?
Just that. I was waved down, had to give my name and address. I was asked if it was my car and made to show my license and insurance. When I asked them what it was about, they handed out the usual flannel about a routine check. I asked them what they were checking. They said it was something to do with stolen property. Of course, it may have been all my eye. Anyway, there it is. I shall have to go out half an hour after coming in. And it may occur to them to wonder why.
Well, you've still got to get down to the harbour and at once. That's essential. Tell them something.
Oh, no. You tell me, Joe. You're the mastermind.
Well, tell them you've had a phone call that that your boat had been bumped on her moorings in the fog, and you're on your way to see if there's any damage. And then, if by any chance they follow it up, there will be a reason for your going out to her again so soon. At least that's the best I can think of at the moment.
All right. I'll try that. They seem fairly harmless coppers.
Well, I must ring off now. This needs thinking about. In the meantime, I still want you on board and ready to sail within the hour. Is that understood?
Yes, but...
All right, Peter.
Damn.
Who was that?
Joe Benton.
What, again? What did he want?
He wants me to go tonight.
And are you going?
Yes.
And you won't tell him to go to hell?
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't let's start that all over again.
But Peter...
I've told you this is the last run I'm doing for him. All he's done is to advance the date. I really can't
see... It's not just a matter of advancing the date. A minute ago you told me he wanted you to go tomorrow. Now he orders you off tonight. Well, I may be a fool, but I don't like the urgency of it. And with this roadblock...
It's got nothing to do with it. Whatever the police are after, it's not the sort of stuff I'll be handling. Now, please, for the last time, stop worrying. I'll be back within 48 hours, and that'll be the end of it.
Oh, I hope to God you're right about that.
What do you mean? Look, I've told you, haven't I? This is the last trip.
All right. Only I sometimes feel we'll never be free of it. And I can't stand much more of it, Peter. I'm sorry, but I can't.
Look, you won't have to, don't you understand? When I get back from this trip, that's the end. I'll get rid of Seamew, if that'd make you any happier.
Oh, don't.
Well, I shan't really be able to afford her anyway, not without Benton's business. Now, I really must be off.
What, now? What about supper? It's all ready.
I won't wait for that. There's plenty of food on board.
Oh, but Peter...
Letty, it's no good. I can't argue the thing anymore. You just have to take my word for it. I shan't... Oh, damn everything. Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I gave my particulars to your colleague when I came in, barely half an hour ago. You want them again?
If you please, sir. That'll be on the ingoing list. As you're now going out, you'd better have them again.
Robertson. I live on the island at 9 Upper Mount Road. This is my car, and here's my license and insurance certificate.
9 Upper Mount Road. Within the last half hour, was it, you come in?
Yeah, about that.
Had to go out again quick, did you, sir?
Yes, damn it. I just got home and I had a phone call to say someone had bumped my boat on her moorings in the fog.
Ah.
I'm going down to see if she's come to any harm. Oh, it may be nothing, but I don't want to go down in the morning and find her sunk on her moorings.
No, I see that, sir. Pretty thick down in the harbour from what I hear. Right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, officer.
Good night.
Good night, sir.
Hello?
Letty? James Hardwick here. Is Peter in?
No.
Oh, I see. Now, look, Letty, I probably shouldn't be ringing you up like this, but I don't imagine anyone's going to be tapping your line. You're not on a party line, are you?
No.
No, I thought not. And if I say you're to keep this call to yourself, you'll do just that, won't you?
Of course.
Right. I know I can count on that. Now, tell me, Letty, when did you last see Ricky?
Ricky? Oh, he was here for a bit this afternoon.
At what time?
He came just as I was going out after lunch, a bit before three, I suppose.
Oh, did he stay long?
No, only a matter of minutes.
And do you know where he went when he left you?
Back to the establishment, I imagine. Well, at least I didn't see him go, of course, but that's where I gathered he was going.
And you haven't seen him or heard from him since?
Not at all, no.
Hmm. Where's Peter, Letty?
I don't know quite. He's down in the town, I think.
Is Seamew up for the winter yet? He said he was getting her out.
Not yet, no.
He's still talking of one last run?
Well, I don't know anything definite, but he'll be laying her up for the winter soon, obviously.
Yes. Letty, I badly want to get hold of Peter. Could you ask him to ring me?
When I see him, yes, I will. Look, James, would it seem unreasonable if I were to ask what all this is about?
I can't tell you much, Letty. You know how it is. But I'm worried about Ricky.
Yes, well, I've been worried about Ricky myself, and I don't know whether we're talking about the same thing. What are you worried about, James?
I think it's possible he may be in trouble of some sort. He's missing, and there are signs of a disturbance.
What, do you mean you think he's been beaten up or something?
We think he could have been the object of an attack, yes. We don't know, of course.
Well, would you think me unsympathetic if I said he had it coming to him? But it wasn't Peter, I'm afraid. Peter ought to have done something of the sort years ago, but I don't think he realized how urgent it was.
Letty, this is serious. I don't know what you're talking about, to tell the truth, but please let me know at once if Peter comes in or if you hear from him. And in the meantime, not a word of this to anyone at all. All right, Letty?
All right, James. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, now what have we got on our hands?
Peter?
Joe, you're here already. Hold the painter while I come aboard.
No, don't come aboard yet. I want you to take my pram and put her back on her running mooring. You know where it is.
Now what are you going to do? Swim ashore?
I'm coming with you on Seamew.
Are you? That's rather venturesome of you, isn't it? Silk, you're the boss. All right. Pass me the pram's painter.
There you are.
Thanks. I'll put her back for you. And no one will know you've gone, will they?
I shan't be gone long. I'll tell you about that later. Now, please get the pram back.
All right, all right.
Secure?
All secure. Your pram is safe on her moorings. Wherever her owner is, he is plainly not afloat. Now what?
Come aboard and get underway as quickly as possible, please.
Right. Put the dinghy on the mooring, will you? Give her about half the painter. I'll get to the engine.
Well, Joe. You're coming all the way to St. Peterport?
No. I want you to get me round the bill as quickly as possible and put me ashore at the island end of West Bay, on the island side of the roadblock. Can you do that?
Oh, so there was a connection after all. You want to bypass the roadblock, do you? The fact that I've come through it twice, giving my name and address each time, doesn't worry you?
Not in the least. Mm. Nor need it worry you. That is, provided you can get me where I want reasonably soon.
So you want me to creep in under the fog and put you ashore, ever so gently, on Dead Man's Bay?
Yes.
Hmm. As a matter of fact, the conditions are good for the job. Unless the fog is a good deal thicker outside than I think it is.
Well, then.
But we'll have to use the shore lights. You know what that means, don't you, Joe? It means going inside the race. All right, fair enough. Ah, it's getting on for 9 now, high tide at Dover. Let me see. Yes, that's it. The race will start at about 10:30. There's no wind at all, but very big tides. Not necessarily fatal for a thing of this size, battened down and properly handled, but I'd much rather not put her into it if I can avoid it. So we aim to get round under the bill before it starts, if we can. Agreed?
Yes. Can we get away now?
Already. I'll back off the mooring and come round on the shore side. I don't want to find the dinghy's painter wrapped round our screws. Now you go forward and cast off when I give the word.
Right. Ready to cast off?
All right. Let her go, forward.
All gone?
Right. Now, we've got to feel our way out of this. You'd better stay up in the bows till we clear the harbor. Sing out sharp if you see anything too straight ahead. Off we go, then. All right, Joe. You can come off now. We're clear of the harbor.
As I hoped, the fog's much thinner out here. Still no sea at all. Well, I won't be able to put you on the beach almost without getting your feet wet. Now, tell me the rest. Well, tell me as much as I need to know, you devious bastard. I put you ashore on Dead Man's Bay, well clear of the nasty police. What do I do then? Well, do I go to Guernsey or don't I?
You do. You've got to wait for me to get back to you.
I thought you weren't coming all the way.
I'm not. But there's something I must get to you before you sail. I told you, papers.
What am I supposed to do? Anchor in the bay? Swan around in circles waiting for you? Or what? I can't leave her on the beach, you know. We're not a family, exactly.
I know that. That's up to you. I'll give you a fixed time for my return, and I'll come to the same point on the beach and show a light seawards. We can arrange a signal, if you like. Then I want you to get to me as fast as you can.
It's quite a maneuver. You do realize that there aren't about 2 nights in the year on the average when you could do it. Are you improvising on the weather or just plain lucky?
I'm playing my luck, Peter. I've got to. I told you there was a sudden change of plans. Well, that was an understatement. But there's no reason why it shouldn't come off so long as you can manage your side.
Oh, I can manage. That's the fog signal from the bill. Yes, it's still somewhere ahead. Well, we're doing well. Very near the bill now. Once the signal is well on the starboard quarter, we'll alter course westwards and creep round under it. Talk about navigating by ear. Do you realize this is the first time you've ever been to sea in Seaview? Funny, really, after all she's done for you. How's the sailor's life appealed you, Joe?
Oh, get on, Peter, for God's sake, and stop the jolly sailor act. Time is very important.
All right, all right. We're going round now. And we should hear the signal creep past us to starboard. When it drops far enough astern, we alter course northwards against the stream and make for your landing point. Here we go, then. Listen to that signal, will you? Your ears are as good as mine. If you think it's getting noticeably closer, sing out. I'll take it a bit wider. Now, then. Into the beach now. There are the lights on the road, you see?
Ah, yes.
I reckon the road blocks a couple of hundred yards west of us. I'll go astern just before we touch. You'll have to jump when you see your moment. You'll just about get your feet wet, but no more, if you're clever. Oh, what's your return signal?
30 minutes dead from now. I'll flash 1 long and 3 short, letter B. Or whoever is there will. It's just on the cards. I mayn't make it myself. You come into the beach, and I'll either get aboard or throw you in the packet. In either case, you must get moving at once and get out to sea as fast as you can without your engine being too noticeable ashore.
It'll have to be westwards. Once I'm clear away westwards, I can stand south out to sea, but not until I'm well clear of the race. Then what? Guernsey?
If I'm with you, I'll decide. If not, St. Peter Port, as I said, and hand the papers over to Murphy Orell.
Right. Ready now. Get up, forward. We're going in. Beach and do a little thinking, I reckon. Twenty-five minutes gone. If the efficient Mr. Benton said 30, he meant 30. Time has stood in a bit. That's near enough, I think. Now, the light should be pretty well dead ahead, if it comes. Not due yet. Better take a round once more. No. There he is. He's early, by God. B. There he goes. B again. He's in a hurry, isn't he? All right, Joe. Coming as fast as we can. Coming aboard. Right. Stand by.
Now. Right. Get below. Quick. I'll take her out.
Joe, I wonder.
Oh, the hell with it. Come out whoever you are. Tell me what we do next. We're clear of the race, standing out to sea. Now, stop playing hide and seek, for God's sake, and tell me what... Ricky, what the devil are you doing here?
Standing out to sea, brother. We're both in the same boat, as they say, and our course is straight for St. Peter Port.
Ricky, what are you doing in Benton's racket? I thought you were the clever one of the family.
I don't know much about Benton's rackets, I'm afraid. I leave all that to you, brother. So far as I'm concerned, Benton was merely the provider of emergency transport.
Emergency transport?
It's a little embarrassing. It should have to be all in the family like this. But we were never once to let brotherly feelings interfere in our activities.
Ricky, you bloody little fool. Stop talking clever and tell me what you're up to.
I'm leaving the country, brother.
What?
I didn't want to particularly, but things... Well, a particular transaction I was interested in went a bit off the rails, and I had no alternative.
Leaving your country for your country's good, is that it?
For my good, I hope. And for something else I happen to believe in, but not for my country's. I leave all that to you, along with Mr. Benton and his rackets.
You poor, pathetic little bastard. You're not trying to tell me that you're selling out to the enemy, are you? I didn't think you were that rotten. You're out of your mind, of course. In your job, if they miss you, they'll be after you with everything they've got.
They'll have missed me, of course, but with any luck, they'll think I'm the victim, not the villain of the piece. For a bit, anyhow. Long enough for me to get clear, I hope.
I still say you're out of your mind.
I don't think so. I've done a bit of thinking, that's all. I see more than you do, and I have a different scale of values, but I'm not out of my mind. On the contrary, I am the sane member of the family.
And in your sanity, you're clearing out. Going over to the other side. Is that it? Well, not in my boat. You didn't really think that I'd do that, did you? I'm setting course for home, Ricky.
Get back on course, brother. You see what I have here, don't you? If I have to use it, I will. And I may point out that not being Mr. Benton, I am perfectly capable of taking over your boat and taking her where I want for myself.
So you're taking over the ship, are you, Ricky? And I'm to navigate at gunpoint to whatever you have in mind. Where have you in mind, by the way? Hardly St. Peter Port, surely.
Set course for St. Peter Port for the present, and make more speed. We have an appointment to keep. I'll give you your instructions later. That's if you're still with me.
Oh, a rendezvous, is it? At sea, I suppose. You didn't really think you could get away with this, did you? I'm sorry, Ricky, you poor little bastard, but you've miscalculated. You are not in command of the ship, I'm afraid. We are not, in fact, alone.
What? Inspector! Well, Inspector, you can come out now, but watch it. Your man's armed.
What the... Got you, you... You poor, clever little bastard. Out cold. And the pistol over the side. Let's have a look now. Yes, here we are. Admiralty folder. Unless I'm very much mistaken. All done up in a waterproof bundle and neatly tucked inside your jacket. Your uniform jacket. The Queen's uniform, Ricky. Oh, God. What's to be done with a mess like this? Set course for home, I suppose. I don't see what else I can do. Officer? This is Lieutenant Richard Robertson, Royal Navy. I have apprehended him in an attempt to hand over secret information to the enemy. My name is Robertson. Yes, curious coincidence, isn't it? Any relation? Yes, as a matter of fact, he is. He's my young brother. Damn you. Damn you, Ricky. How could you do this to me? Not only me, but your mother still alive and... The whole Royal Navy, the whole Royal Navy, Ricky, you little bastard. No. No, that won't do. I must think of something better than that. What's the time? Yes. The race will be going great guns for another hour yet. Put Seamew in the race with everything wide open, and she'll founder in a matter of minutes. Oh, you'll die a sailor's death at least, Ricky. Which is more than you deserve. Seamew, I told my wife I'd get rid of you, but I hadn't really this in view. Come on, then. This is it. We're in the south-going stream now, and everything's open that can be. Fore hatch wide, scuttles. Main hatch already wide. Oh, yes, now, life jackets. Folder in inside pocket. I'm not going down with the ship, not if I can help it. Still out, aren't you, Ricky? Well, thank God for that anyway. You'll be washed overboard and drowned without knowing what's happening to you. You poor little bastard. That's it, then. Ship heading due south. The tide will do the rest. Goodbye, Seamew. Can't sink. It's not much good wearing a life jacket if I'm right in the race. Just keep on swimming. Oh, God. I wish I could see. This damn fog. Can't surely be far now. I'm drifting south. Much too fast. Just got to keep on swimming. Steadily. That's it. Steadily. Oh, God. I can't make it. I can't. Oh, you must be nearly in. You must be. If only I could see. I can't see. Oh, God. It's a light. Right over me. High up. It must be the cliff. Oh, God, I touched. No, thank God. Rocks everywhere. I'm in. I'm home. Oh, God. I thought I wasn't going to make it. What about the papers? What am I going to do with these damn papers?
Who's that? Banks, is it?
That's right, Sarge.
Wouldn't know you from my own grandmother in this lot.
Was she in the force, Sarge?
No, Banks, no. I meant if you... Oh, forget it. You're covering from here to the petrol pumps, are you?
That's right, Sarge.
Well, you know what you got to do. Anyone carrying anything, briefcase, small suitcase, that sort of thing, stop them and have a look. You know what we're looking for, and if there's any trouble, use your whistle at once.
Right, Sarge.
Right, off you go, then. And keep on the move. You haven't got much to cover, and you want to cover it pretty regular.
Right, Sarge.
Right, Sarge. She in the force, Sarge. Dang it. I don't know.
It's a blessed thing. A British policeman on patrol. Here I am with a piece of international dynamite. With top security written all over it. What do I do? Rush it to the Admiralty? Oh, no. Oh, no. I place it under the feet of the nearest patrolling copper. No, it'll be safer that way. Here he comes again. Hurry, man. All shot to bits with cold. Now, I'll leave the papers. Out here, I think. Yes. Not too far from the lamp. He's pretty well bound to see it. He should just be able to persuade himself that it's been there all the time and he hasn't noticed it before. Right. Try that, Constable Banks, and the best of British luck to you.
Oh, here, what we got here, then. Oh, a packet. Sergeant! Sergeant, quick, over here!
This will cover a multitude of sins. Oh, a drink, by God. Two good navel fingers of scotch.
Peter. Peter, are you all right?
Hello, that's it. Yes, I'm all right. The trip's off, as a matter of fact. I've got rather bad news, I'm afraid.
Bad news?
The boat's gone, Letts.
Oh.
Poor old Seamew was gone in the race, and I'm afraid young Ricky's gone with her.
Ricky? Drowned?
Yes, I'm afraid so, yes.
Oh, thank God.
What?
What happened, Peter? Tell me, what happened?
Well, I don't know exactly. He must have taken her out and gone off course in the fog. He's had her out before, you know.
And you swam after him, I suppose. Your coat may be dry, my darling, but your trousers are very wet indeed. Oh, for God's sake, go and put on some dry clothes and think up a better story while you're doing it.
Letty, I didn't think. I just didn't think.
Never mind, my dear, never mind. He's dead, isn't he? You're sure he's dead?
Yes, he's dead, all right. Cleanly drowned. Like all the other poor devils in St. Mary's Churchyard. God knows what they were like in their lives, but the sea scrubbed it all out. There's no disgrace in Dead Man's Bay, lads. No questions asked. Ricky's all right. You don't have to worry about Ricky.
Dry clothes now. No, 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 no. More whiskey for the moment, though. So get yourself dry, my dear.
Yes. I'm pretty well in bed.
Oh, I know, but it'll be all right. Everything will be all right now. Come on, my dear. I'll give you a hand.
In Dead Man's Bay by P.M. Hubbard, the part of Peter Robertson was played by Hector Ross, Letty Robertson by Cecile Chevreau, Ricky Robertson by Nigel Graham, Captain James Hardwick, Arthur Lawrence, Joe Benton, Noel Howlett, and Janet Hardwick, Noel Hood. Other parts were played by Joe Kendall, Michael McLean, and Basil Jones. The play, which was recorded, was produced by Martin C. Webster. And now, a note on the Sunday afternoon play. But first of all, let me say that at 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, if you're listening to the Home Service in the north of England, you'll be hearing this week's edition of The Critics. All other home services will be presenting the play, which is Robert Bolt's stage success, Flowering Cherry. A story of an insurance agent who lives in a fantasy world of his own and tries to prove his strength and resolution to his wife. Tension and tragedy in The Flowering Cherry by Robert Bolt. Tomorrow afternoon's play in all home services except the North, which will be offering The Critics.